Let us pray. O gracious and most holy God, we come to you. We have heard the scriptures. May you continue to search our hearts in order for you to be closer to all of us. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my holy and gracious Redeemer. Amen. And so the first sola, or core belief of the Reformation, as we have mentioned last week, is sola scriptura, or by scripture alone. The scripture, according to the Reformation movement, is the primary source of authority. We have heard from Timothy, where Timothy received the letter from Paul, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. And so the Reformation that Martin Luther sparked is a movement towards right practice. We'll call it orthodoxy, with an appeal to the scripture alone in terms of primacy. We have to remember that Luther agreed with the Church Universal, also known as the Catholic Church. So where there is agreement in the scripture, the Reform movement, especially as Martin Luther envisioned, was fine. He was at peace as long as the scripture is central. When there is disagreement, that is when Martin Luther disagreed in terms of his position, especially about where authority lies. For Martin Luther, he believed that the priesthood of all believers is where authority truly lies. And I think it's important for us to mention, because I know that this is kind of difficult to understand for most of us, the primacy of Scripture. But in terms of the Reformation movement, the Nicene Creed was an affirmation that Jesus is truly from the same substance from God. And from the Nicene Creed, the church developed the doctrine of Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So whenever we sing the doxology, we invoke or affirm the power of God in our lives alone. There is no other God except the God that was revealed in Jesus Christ. And so for Martin Luther, it was okay. It was supported by an appeal to the scripture as the primary source for ordering our relationship with God. And so for the Reformation, reading the scripture, the importance of preaching, the use of music, sacred music, and the arts, among others, were defining moments as people attempt to understand what it means to grow in relationship to God and with one another. So the scripture text that we read this morning from the book of Ephesians is really the core passage in terms of our understanding of faith. We, according to Luther, are justified by faith. By grace, we have been saved through Christ, and it is not our own doing, but rather it is a gift from God. So that is really the core belief of the Reformation. You know, Protestants, according to C.S. Lewis, writing in the 20th century, according to C.S. Lewis, he believes that Christians are like living in a large house. And if you live in a large house, or in a great house, there are a number of rooms. And those number of rooms, according to C.S. Lewis, is where many different faith traditions can find their own expressions of faith and spirituality. But Jesus also said much earlier on in the New Testament, remember the words of Jesus to Thomas, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." And Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you in that house, so that wherever I am, there you may be also." And for Martin Luther, especially in the light of the Reformation, it is by faith alone that we have access to God. Now, I know that this is a little bit tricky, because when Luther was writing his treatises and his dissertation and his tracts about the primacy of faith, the Catholic Church during that particular moment in history was more focused on works, not on faith, but rather on works. So in other words, if you do certain things, if you pay the indulgences, if you are merciful, then you gain merit in the kingdom of God. For Martin Luther, that argument is totally against the scripture. Martin Luther believed that faith comes, you know, before works. And because of your own faith in God, then the works, the expressions of the good works that people do in the community, in the world, is a result of faith. So that really was the argument, the big argument during that time. But you see, this whole idea that faith comes first set into motion something that Luther cannot control by himself. By faith alone, and we call it sola fide in Latin, is a gift from God. So Luther changed the vocabulary, so to speak, of our own faith. And that is where it gets complicated. That is where he ran into trouble with religious authorities, because how can you order one's life? You know, how can you support the church? How can you worship God, you know, if it's not through works? How can you build magnificent cathedrals and spiritual centers in order to experience the grandeur of God if someone is not giving to the church, supporting the cause of the church? So Martin Luther really emphasized, and I think it is even true today, he emphasized that all of our actions, when we respond to the needs locally, it reaches globally. When you act here, there is an implication to the lives, to the ministries that we cherish. For example, when you welcome a stranger and binds his wound or her wounds, when you welcome an immigrant in your community, as in the scripture, it is Christ who is working in our lives, in you and me. And so Luther struggled with this, and he said, that is the primary reason why we are saved. You know, by faith, and out of our faith, our love or our works overflows to other people. So justification by faith in Christ alone was the primary motive for Luther. And then for Luther, this shift of vocabulary was not a denial of grace. Remember the scripture, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." I was wondering in my own mind as I was writing this sermon, well, why is it so important for all of us today to talk about grace and faith? Well, Luther believed that our salvation, and hear this, because I know it's rather complicated. Our salvation is compromise. That's what he said. Our salvation is compromise when people during his own time can work their way through. So in other words, if you pay certain things, certain amount, then you can go into the different levels of God's kingdom. And so that is why it is no wonder that Luther rejected the translation of James. Remember, in the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. That's what James said. And so Luther was really against that, and he really attempted to remove that from the canon of his own translation of the German Bible. But there were others also in the Reform movement who convinced Luther that, you know, it should be part of the canon. And as part of the compromise in the Bible German tradition that Luther wrote, it was added towards the end rather than in its usual place in the Bible that we know today. So it is no wonder that this fight about faith and works lingered on for 500 years. So it's not really settled yet. So they have been thinking and debating, what does it really mean to have faith first as our first response to God? So 500 years, I think somewhere in the next 500 years they will come to an agreement that faith complements works rather than opposing one another. But you see, Luther was not alone in this. There was his friend, and sometimes they say mentor, or Philip Melanchthon, he said, who connected all the dots, so to speak, to point to Christ. I know it's complicated, but let me try and see whether I can connect the dots. Justification by faith, through by grace you have been saved. And Melanchthon said, it is by Christ. It is through Christ. And when Melanchthon connected the dots, all of a sudden it's as if a light bulb just turned on. They said, yes, that is right. We are justified. We are saved by grace through Christ alone. Now, there's a term that I'm still trying to understand, because it's a term in economic theory. It's called imputation. Maybe some of you know that word better than I do. So when I tried to understand what imputation means, there was an example that was given. Imputation, according to economic theory, is when a landlord, for example, who has a rental property, imputes the value of the property. So in other words, if you are a renter, you have no choice. So whatever the landlord says, that's the rent. That's the rent. That's what it's called when you say imputation. Now, in Reformation, imputation simply means that Christ already paid the rent for you. By his death on the cross, by his resurrection, by his commitment to the community of faith, that is where you have received the fullness of God in your lives. So there's justification, and there's grace. And then it moved on to the whole idea of being sanctified or set free. Because people, even today, has been asking, well, what happens when we are saved? Well, where do we go when we are saved? Now, I don't know about you, but have you heard about the four spiritual laws? When I was in college, that was a big thing, you know. Four spiritual laws. It comes in a nice little yellow pamphlet, and my conservative friends always pushes that to me. And I always pushed back because I said, yeah, I like that, but I've got some other things in my own mind. In my own mind, the kind of holiness that I desire is from the Methodist perspective, where it says there is no holiness except social holiness. So in other words, when I'm doing the service for the poor, helping the needy, responding to all this crisis and speaking up for the rights of the oppressed, I am actually doing God's work because it is faith that leads me to it. And so according to the scripture, sanctification, according to Martin Luther, is really the moment when we are set free by the loving God. It is not something that we can avoid, but rather it is something that the Spirit continues to use. Listen to what Paul said. We are to live not according to human nature, but by human nature, by the nurturing that is done by the Spirit of God who sets us free to love Him. That is why sola fide, or by faith alone, is so essential to our understanding of faith. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We belong. We make a difference. And during the time of Luther, we know that the feudal state was strong. Land versus the landless. But Luther paved the way so that individuals can gain an understanding that we belong to the Lord, to the Lord, that the earth and the fullness of the whole creation belongs to the Word, God's creation. And so this is where Luther developed this kind of spirituality. Spirituality is vital in order for us to be connected with the community. There is no such thing as private faith or private spirituality. In fact, Luther was against that. If there is to be spirituality, it has to be connected in terms of our personal relationship with God. And Luther went on and on about the saints, the veneration of relics, and so forth in the Catholic Church, where he was instrumental in renewing. And Luther was really focused on renewal of the church by faith, the way he understands it. One is saved by grace through faith, according to Luther, not of our doing, but as a gift from God. Justification by faith is the act in which God accepts all of us because we are sinners. Sanctification is the process in which God is the one who transforms and who renews all of us as believers. As I was preparing the sermon, you know, I don't know whether you keep your old licenses. You? Driver's license? Well, I have, you know. Most of the time I lied on the information. You know, they ask you, has the information changed? Oh, no. Everything correct? Oh, yes. And then I look, that's not quite right, because I was 30 pounds 10 years ago, but I'm not the same right now. But when you think about renewal and God working in our lives, for Luther, renewal is taking into account our sinfulness, but God is the one who transforms us. In our best moments, when we try to understand what it means to live by faith alone, we tell stories. When we tell stories, we act our rituals. We create beauty. We serve. We offer gifts. We pray our beliefs. We seek answers. We ask questions. We protest. We feel the breath of fresh air. We rejoice. We also mourn. We seek silence. We make melody. But really, deeply, the best moment is when faith is our companion for the journey. It is really the faith that seeks understanding. And that's from Luther. And that's the way he understands the primacy of faith in terms of our relationship with God. Amen.